Well, welcome everybody to the third week of our series called It's Your Move. This series is about laying the groundwork that will allow God to move in your life in a mighty way. We all want blessings from God, but before he opens the windows of heaven, God often wants us to do something that will activate his grace, something that will switch on his favor in our lives. There are times when God wants us to take an important step of faith first, before he goes to work. In effect, he's saying, it's your move. In the first week of this series, we talked about a war that's going on inside all of us, a war between the flesh and the spirit. We said that the flesh wants you to be jealous, greedy, angry, and prideful, but you have the power to overthrow the dictatorship of the flesh and walk peacefully in the spirit of God. But you have to make the right move first. What do you have to do? You have to keep the word of Jesus. You have to do your best to try to follow his command to love, even when it's hard. Last week, we looked at another move that we can make. We said that the more we grow in our faith, the more we mature spiritually, the more God will give us a kind of priority access to his grace. He'll take us behind the scenes, so to speak, and through the power of the Spirit, declare to us, reveal to us the things that are coming, the good things that are coming in your life, blessings that God is preparing to pour out on you and your family, the victories he is promising, the promises he is fulfilling, the plans he has to show out in your life. It's sort of like a backstage pass to what's coming next for you. Today I want to talk with you about a third move that you can make to activate God's grace in your life. Today I want to talk with you about recognize the reward. We all want to be rewarded, don't we? When you work hard at the job, you want better pay, you expect better pay, opportunities to advance, a pat on the back. When you spend time with your family, invest in your marriage and in your kids, you look forward to the payoff. Happy and successful children, a loving relationship with your spouse. When you put in the effort, exercise, and eat right, you can't wait to show off your new and improved physique at the beach. I know I do. New and improved physique at the beach. These are all rewards that we do, that we get when we invest in ourselves, in our jobs, and in our families. There's an old saying, what gets rewarded gets repeated. That means that when you see the value in something that you're doing, you're more likely to repeat it, more likely to keep doing it. But you first have to recognize the reward. Genesis chapter 14, the first reading we heard today, there was a man named Abram. Abram lived near a small town called Hebron, which was about 20 miles south of Jerusalem. And one day, Abram's nephew, Lot, got caught in the crossfire of a war that had nothing to do with him. And unfortunately, he was captured and taken prisoner. And when Abram heard this, he gathered over 300 of his servants who were armed and trained in combat. And they went out to rescue Lot. And when Abram came back victorious, a man named Melchizedek came to see him. He brought along some bread and some wine. The first reading today says that Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem, and he was also a priest of God Most High. And since he was a priest, he blessed Abram, and Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had, 10% of all he owned. Why did Abram do that? Because he knew that meal was not ordinary bread and wine. He understood that Melchizedek was no ordinary king. He recognized the fact that that blessing was actually from Almighty God. And the passage goes on to say, we don't hear it in the first reading, but it goes on to say that sometime after these events, this word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Abram, fear not. I will make your reward very great. Abram was rewarded because he saw the value in that blessing. God rewarded him because he recognized the reward. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that nowadays a lot of things have kind of gone by the wayside. You know, things we used to do all the time but don't do anymore. You know, like be on time for appointments. I actually looked this up. This is what artificial intelligence said. These are like three things that people don't do anymore. Show up on time for appointments. Write handwritten thank you notes. And by the way, I'm terrible at that. But if you gave me a Christmas gift, I promise you those thank you notes are coming. They're coming. I think they're coming in July. It'll be Christmas in July. Anyway, I keep trying to get to them. I'm so sorry. And then the other thing that we don't do very often anymore is balance our checkbooks, right? 20% of people today balance their checkbooks. I remember growing up having to learn how to do that, do it by hand. There's a lot of things that people don't do anymore today, even like talking on the telephone. It's kind of like a lost art. A lot of people just don't see the value in those activities anymore. And unfortunately, the same is true with faith and religion. A lot of people just don't see the value in it anymore. And I understand that because sometimes it's hard to see the payoff, the reward that comes with faith. Faith takes a special kind of grace to see what others can't. In Scripture, Hebrews says that faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And that's hard. It's hard to see the reward of faith. Even the disciples of Jesus struggled with that. When they were looking out at the enormous number of people in the gospel reading today, they did not see with the eyes of faith. All they saw was a problem that needed to be fixed. They were in a remote location. The crowd had been there all day listening to Jesus and watching him heal the sick. And now everyone was hungry. So they told Jesus, dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place. The disciples saw no reason to stay there because there was no food to speak of. But what they did not recognize was that it was no accident that they were in a deserted place. No coincidence that all those people were there, over 5,000 people. Not by chance that Jesus would have them sit down in groups of 50. And not a fluke that there were only 5 loaves of bread available to feed all those people. You see, the whole scene had been carefully orchestrated. It was a set up to reveal who Jesus actually was, his real identity, his true value. Long before that, when the Israelites first escaped slavery in Egypt, you might remember they were also in a deserted place. And like the disciples, Moses had absolutely no idea how he was going to feed all those people in the desert. But God told him to organize the people into smaller groupings, including groups of 50, just like we heard in the gospel. And then God sent a substance that rained down from heaven. It looked and tasted like bread. It was called manna, and he fed the people in the desert. These are all important parallels to what happened in the gospel story today. And then 500 years later, the prophet Elisha performed a miracle. He fed 100 people with only 20 loaves of bread, similar to what Jesus did in the gospel, except he fed way more people with far fewer loaves. And here's another similarity. Do you remember the story of David in the Old Testament when he was on the run from King Saul, who wanted to kill him? He came to a town called Nob, and he talked to a priest there, and he asked the priest for some bread to feed his men who were hungry. Guess how many loaves of bread David asked for? 5 loaves of bread. That's not a coincidence. And to top it all off, the Jewish literature of that time, people believed that when the Messiah came, the Messiah who would redeem Israel and who would liberate the people from the oppression of the Romans, When that Messiah came, people believed, and it was written, that the manna from the desert would then return. And in the gospel story today, it did. The manna returned. There was enough bread to feed everyone. It was like manna from heaven. These are all clues to show that Jesus was not merely a new kind of Moses, not just another prophet like Elisha or another king like David, but that he was the actual Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah who had finally come and brought the manna back. The whole scenario pointed to who Jesus really was. The problem was the disciples missed it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. They didn't recognize it. They were so focused on the problem at hand. They couldn't scratch beneath the surface, dig deeper, see with the eyes of faith. They simply did not recognize the reward of knowing who Jesus really was, the Messiah who had finally come. Sometimes it's easy to underestimate the value of some things, not understand what they're really worth. I heard this story about a true story about a young man in India. He came from a poor family, and he and his family lived in a very small shack way out in the middle of a field somewhere. No running water, no electricity, none of the amenities you and I take for granted. Well, just down the road, there was another man and his family. This man was extremely wealthy. He owned a huge farm with a lot of land and cattle, a lot of cows. But he sold his crops and the milk that his cows produced on the open market, but most of the poor people in that area just couldn't afford to buy it. The price was too high. Well, one day, 10 cows got loose from the farm and came over to that property where the young man and his family lived. Now, the young man was an honest man, so he went to the farmer and he said, "Look, 10 of your cows got out," and the farmer sent his men to round them up and herd them back to the farm. The next day, it happened again, and again, and again, and again. Finally, the farmer said, "You know what? Just keep those 10 cows. I have so many, it doesn't matter. It's not worth the time, the money, or the aggravation to keep rounding up those 10 cows, those same 10 cows. You just keep them." Well, the young man was so excited. He started milking those cows and he sold the milk on the market. He sold it to his neighbors, his poor neighbors, but at a price that they could afford. Pretty soon, everyone was buying from him. With the extra money, he bought more cows and kept growing and investing in the business. This is a true story. Kept growing and investing in the business. And eventually, the operation got so big that the other farmer just couldn't compete. Ended up selling his entire business to that young man. All because he did not recognize the value of those 10 cows. To him, they were just a headache, a distraction, a nuisance that he got tired of dealing with. But to that young man, those 10 cows were everything. They were the most valuable things in the world. They pulled him out of poverty and made him a rich man. This is what happens when you have the ability to see the value, to recognize the reward in something that other people think is just ordinary, run of the mill, no big deal, nothing to write home about. When Jesus fed the multitude in the gospel, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples to give to the people. Everyone was fed. Everyone was satisfied. It was a miracle. But the very next day, the same crowd came back looking for Jesus. They wanted to know where he was. It wasn't because they suddenly recognized, "Oh, this is the Messiah. That's what that whole message was all about." It wasn't because they finally understood the miracle of the 5,000, the deeper meaning, the reward in it. No, they just came back looking for Jesus because they were hungry. They wanted more bread. They wanted to fill their stomachs. They did not recognize the true reward of that miracle. Now, fast forward a few years. Jesus was walking on a road leading out of Jerusalem. This was after he had been raised from the dead. He came across two of his disciples, but they did not recognize him. They thought he was a stranger. They struck up a conversation. Jesus and them talked over many things, about many things, and when evening came, they shared a meal together. And as they were eating, Jesus did the same thing he did in the gospel. He took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened. They realized that the ordinary bread they were sharing had become something valuable, something out of the ordinary. They recognized the miracle in that moment. At every Mass, in every Catholic church around the world, the priest takes ordinary bread. He blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to the people, just like Jesus did. You have the choice to see it, like many do, as just a plain wafer, a simple cracker, I've heard it called, with no real value or meaning, just a symbol, a nice gesture, a ritual we do, a nice thing we do every Sunday. Or you can choose to believe. You can choose to see with the eyes of faith. You can choose to recognize the reward and believe that Jesus is truly present in that ordinary bread, truly present in the meal we share together every Sunday. My advice? Recognize the reward. There's so many benefits to it. Because when you're fed at the table of Christ, when you're strengthened by his sacrifice, you can persevere through any crisis in your life, get through any problem, get to the other side of any hardship, overcome any obstacle. When you're checking your child or grandchild into the addiction treatment center, you can still praise God in the storm. When you're signing the bankruptcy papers because of a failed business, you can still put your trust and faith in the sovereign will of God. When the doctor delivers the diagnosis you were dreading, you can still get up and walk out of his office with hope and courage. And when you're standing by the gravesite, tears falling from your eyes, you feel so alone, so abandoned, the one you love is gone. When you're in a deserted place, a desolate place, when there's no food in the cupboard, no check in the mail, no job on the horizon, no comfort and compassion from other people, you can still find joy in your life when you believe that Jesus is truly alive in that ordinary bread and truly alive in you. That is the reward of faith. When you can open your eyes and see with the eyes of faith and recognize the reward. At the end of the day, it's up to you what you believe about that ordinary bread and how valuable it is. But when you come forward in a few moments to receive that host made of ordinary bread, ordinary water, consecrated by an ordinary priest, it's up to you how you see it. It's up to you whether you recognize the reward. In other words, it's your move.